الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. إن شاء الله in the continuation of the series of the family in Islam, we know now that the marriage contract or the relationship between the man and the woman is actually, it is a holy contract that committing everyone member in that contract, helping the other to be a Muslim, to be a better Muslim. Because the ultimate goal in the any Muslim life, man or woman, is to use the gift of life to qualify to Allah for Allah's mercy in the hereafter. That's the goal. Everything, you can do so many things in your life, but the most important thing is that you, whatever you do, you direct it to accomplish your goal. Otherwise, you lose it. So, the commitment, or as a fruit of this marriage contract, is you have the family. What is the family? Basically, the concept of family is environment. The Muslim family means Muslim environment, where the new generation can grow up as a healthy Muslim. That's what the whole thing is all about. Growing, give environment that the new generation will inshallah grow as a good Muslim. And they carry on with the new generation and on and on and on. Okay. One of the major backbone that control the relationship between you and between your wife, and one of the main major backbone also that it's supposed to be enforced to build the environment of the family and to teach every single member of the family and to enforce and to practice by giving examples. We all know that we can, in a certain stages of our life, we can learn by instinct, sometimes action and reaction. Somebody see a fire, run. Or something dangerous, you run. That's action and reaction. And sometimes we learn by example. Even if you have a little kid, toddler, 1 or 2 years or whatever, you see their prayer, their parents pray, so they're going to go right in and pray with them, but they don't know what they are doing. But that's okay, because you are building a habit, and the habit is going to grow up with it, and basically they will understand later. And sometimes by using the mind and using the understanding. So it is very important in the environment is to give a training and to give a knowledge and to give the good examples about what is that one or the major element that I'm talking about is Allah, right? Every single, we even in the religious families, we teach the children, or when we even communicate with each other, sometimes we say, do this, Allah will be pleased with you. Or don't do that, so Allah will be displeased with you. Do not do that, because that's going to make Allah anger. So the relationship here, you are building a relationship with Allah. What you said is true, but is it complete? That's the issue. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have a rights, or he doesn't have rights? You know that everything you deal with, it is a right and obligation. So when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is, we know that much, or we know, or the majority know, that can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you do this, if you don't do that, or you do that, that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some, they are dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, let me do this so I can get closer, or I can get some benefit. Allah will be pleased with me. There is nothing wrong with none of that. But the most important thing is that you will be aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rights. And you are committed when you said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah to deliver those rights. To deliver those rights. Regardless what is your circumstances is. And that's what the whole La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is all about. the commitment that it gets generated from the declaration of the faith. It comes on the top of this right. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had the right to define himself. The dilemma of the mankind since day one is not recognizing existing of a supreme power. We all know that. There is no problem with that at all. We know there is a bright sun out there, and we know that we had nothing to do with it. We know after a few hours it's going to be dark, and we have nothing to do with it. It's going to be a moon, and we have nothing to do with it. Rain, cold, hot, all the aspects of your life. But the major problem, it was all during the history, is we try to define the supreme power by ourselves. And here it comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy, through messengers and prophets to come and define to us. Allah define himself by himself. So you need to understand, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right is to define himself by himself. And that's what you're supposed to teach the new generation. See how Allah defined himself in the Holy Quran. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined himself through the messages of the messengers. And it doesn't take much. I'm not attacking anybody or trying to condemn or evaluate or pass a judgment. But basically, the basic comprehension in the Judaism, God is one, but that does not mean he's perfect. And the Old Testament is have a lot to do with that, things defined by the human being. And the Christianity, we have the concept of Trinity. In Islam, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. None like him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one and the absolute, the eternal, never begotten, begotten, and none like him to him. This is very, very important issues. And if your children don't know these things, like the back of their hand, probably they will never have a sound character. Because these are the foundation that get built on it, the rest of their life, and the rest of yes or no, and the rest of their life. They also, they need to do, know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is you need, is his right, is to be obeyed unconditionally. Because he is the creator. He is the creator. He is the one who put you together. He had the right. When you own something, when you have something in your position, you have the right to do with it what you do, what you want. If I come to your home, I have to go by your rule. I have to obey you. You say, sit down here, I will sit down here. Come here, I will come here. Or otherwise, if I don't like what you're telling me, I'm out. I'm going to leave. But where are you going to leave? So you and I, we do know when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolutely, Allah will not accept anything but the total submission to his will and his command. Total submission. Not partial, not 99%, a total submission. And that's what the word Islam means, submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you need also to let him know that Ar-Raziq is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the provider. The one who provides by anything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a lot of, and when you have it inserted and planned in your child heart that Allah is the provider, believe me, you give him a immune shot against major diseases just to the provider. Because in this case, that means immediately. Can you imagine if I am communicating with you and you are communicating with me, and each one of us know that you cannot be harmful to me and you cannot be beneficial to me either. And whatever going to happen is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. And Allah, when He wants, He will provide you through His your enemy and His enemy. You see now how the relationship... Do you think I need to be a hypocrite with you? Or you have to be a hypocrite with me? Do you think I'm going to associate with Allah? Do you think I'm going to be afraid of anybody? Or having a hope in anybody? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make your enemy, serve you, not help you, serve you. What kind of a balance that it will be between the human beings, between each other? It's going to come right into truth. I like you, you will know it. I hate you, you will know it. And you're going to have only one face. Not so many faces. Because you fear none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you hope in none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a raziq, you have to let them know that. You have to let them know that. That is a part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Also, you need them to let them know that Allah is the musaytir, the controller. Controller, that means basically nothing in that universe can happen without His consent and His approval. Nothing. Nothing. There is a lot of things you take for granted and I take for granted to the point of the granted itself, it came to be granted. Okay, coming up from your car, forget whatever happened till you come here. It's just coming, walking few steps, only few steps, and raising your leg, to these steps and to come in here. Can you do one single step to move your body on your own? One single step. How many billions of calculations your brain did to move one step? You are moving your mass, you are moving your balance, you are moving different angles. You are doing a whole lot of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a total control of every and anything in your life. Allah never been through walls or contained in walls like in masjid or churches from their perspective, or a synagogue or a temple or whatever. Allah everywhere and anywhere. And He's mighty everywhere. And if you cannot see Him, never forget that He can see you. يَعْلَمْ خَائِنَةُ الْأَعْيُنُ وَمَا تَخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. He all knowing what you have in your heart and what you hide in your heart. And when you look, what is the impact? When you look at something, what is the impact of your look to your soul? What did you say to your soul? He hear it, He know it, He understand it. أَلَا يَعْلَمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Who will know you better than the one who created you? You have to shape the conscience of that person, daughter or son, with this, because that's Allah, right? And it turned out to be, you have to teach them how to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, they have to know the only one who can give life and can give death is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one who can give life is Allah. And the only one who can take it is Allah. And He is the only one who can give, and He is the only one who can take. What is it that you are worried about? What is it that you are afraid of? Why we have those two in our life to start with? وَعَبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The true servant and the true people that they understand the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. They have no fear. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Fear, usually, what I'm afraid of? Why I have a fear? I have a fear about the future, or have a fear about the past? Usually they fear about the future. I am okay today, but I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Maybe I'm healthy today. I don't know tomorrow. Maybe I have a couple bucks in my pocket today, but I don't know tomorrow. Maybe I will be sick tomorrow. Maybe. And that generates what? Fear. Right? وَعَبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. They don't worry about the future. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And الحزن, which is sadness. What it happened when you are in a sad mood? Sad mood, it happened how? How we get to the sad mood? About something in the future or something in the past? Something we did not do or something we did? Or something we wanted to do and we couldn't do it? So it is about the past. You are sad about, I could have done that. That could have been happened. If I said that, that would have happened. And what? And you lose the most important asset that you have, which is the present. Who want to teach the child how to think this way? For the future, you are dealing with the Razak, the provider. If you invite somebody to your home, you have a provision for them. What is it? You are a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it is about the past, the gates of forgiveness is wide open. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy? Whatever that was in the past, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you can seek forgiveness. And it will be granted. You don't have to carry this package anymore. Just drop it. Correct it and keep going. Also, you need to teach your child what is the meaning of the word patient. I know that I gave here khutbah before about the word patient. And there are six types of patients. And inshallah, maybe in the future, I will give inshallah, repeat the khutbah again. Zakir fa inna zikra tanfa'al mu'minin. Inshallah. But part of the being patient is basically the definition of patient is that you tolerate and to accept what you usually do not tolerate or accept in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why you are patient? Why you are not retaliating? Why you are holding back? To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. Who will take your child to overwhelming, extensive courses of teaching him all kind of patience? And who can be a better teacher than you? Teach me by example how to be patient. Let me know that you yourself are patient. And tell me why you are patient. There is a huge difference between being weak and being patient. Being patient, that means you have the credential to respond. Being weak, you think that you don't have the credential to respond. I didn't say you don't have the credential to respond. I said you think you don't have the credential to respond. You're only weak when you admit that you are weak. You're only weak when you want to be weak. If you look at the whole Quran from the beginning, from Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim till the end of Surah An-Nas, you will never see the word weak. There is no word weak there. But there is another word, al-mustad'afin. Al-mustad'afin, that basically it means by the English, the one who think he is weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create weaks. There is no weakness. Or otherwise you wouldn't be able to survive. If you are weak by that sense, you're going to go to the natural law and you're going to be vanished because somebody else will take care of you. But as long as you are breathing and you are up, you are not weak. You're only weak when you want to be weak. You are already conquered inside. I cannot do it. I don't have the means to do it. When you speak like this to yourself, you don't need enemies. You got the best one right in between your ribs. You already got your enemy. You don't need no more enemies. When you started to talk and think like this, who will inspire the child and to say, no, never admit to it, never even get to it. If Allah brings you to it, that means you can do it. You do mistakes? Yeah, who doesn't? The only difference that I know of, Muslim all the time start up again. The more hardship they face, the more they are willing to start from all over again. And they will never give up. Never give up. Giving up is something exists in the dictionary, but it is not in the Muslim daily life. Being desperate, giving up is just not part of our character. Who will enforce that? Who will the child come back and crying and say, I lost this, or I can't do this, or I fail in this? You're going to say, okay, let us try again. Who will do the empowerment? Learn from your mistakes. What did you do wrong? Let us do it right this time. All you need to do to succeed is, out of so many attempts, you succeed one time. Go after it. And that's what the whole life is all about. So you are building the character by this way. By letting that child know that Allah has rights, and part of his right is you never have a doubt about what he can do to you. I need all kind of strength. I need all kind of strength inside to keep on surviving and doing whatever I do. And I will never have that if I don't have the confidence that I am giving Allah his right. I am in a state of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is please or don't stay away from the anger. It is true, but I need to know why so I can use it to build. So here you have to know, you have to understand, and you have to let the child know. We are doing this because of this, and that's how it's going to build. How somebody can feel weak or can feel conquered? And if you know that you are dealing with the mighty capability. If you have a peace treaty or you have a defense treaty with one of the superpower, whatever that is, let us say XYZ, and you are a small unit. But you know, if anybody attack you or anything happened to you, says, right, that all the airplane carriers, all the destroyers, all the guns, all the whatever will be there within 24 hours. Destroy your enemy. How are you going to function? When you know that you have a strong backup to face whatever challenges that you have in your life. Remember, you only conquered when you want to be conquered. When you admit that you are conquered. And you will never ever be conquered if you are on the side where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to provide the victory and the backup and the support to the sincere, genuine believer. Check your paper. Check your what you're doing. And stick to the right side. And you will have no time even to think about losing or a potential of losing. I'm not talking about dreamers. I'm talking about the people that they can make dreams reality, which is basically the word for it, Muslims. You have to tell him also, and it is Allah right to know that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained on us to do and what He ordained on us to not to do is not a choice, or it is not something to do when we can and how we can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He said do this, that means do this. And when He said don't do that, that means don't do that. So it is not your prerogative or mind. Is to say, I will do it when I can, and I don't do it when I can't. No, you can't. Or Allah order, regardless if it is you like or you don't, you're going to go with it. You obey the law, any law, even if sometimes you don't like the traffic lights and whatever that is. But you do. You don't have a choice to do that. So for organizing your own life, you follow choice, you follow a law. But how about the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained? And the man-made law that you are actually, you can rebellion against it. You can hate it. But there is something else that will keep you right back on the track, which is that called the law enforcement. Law enforcement. That means we're going to make sure there is an entity in the society, it says, we're going to make sure there is a law enforcement, that the law will be enforced. And that can be something from the, whatever, FBI, whatever, the national security, local sheriff, state police, troopers, name it, federal, whatever that is. Whatever comes under the umbrella of law enforcement, their name is law enforcement. But where is the law enforcement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala law? Where is this law enforcement coming from? The law enforcement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala law, it comes only from your iman. It comes from inside. And that something doesn't happen in day and night. And that needs a lot of training. That needs a lot of examples. That needs a lot of holding together to make sure that no one will slip. And this is not one-time job. This is not one-time job. All of this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right. Allah right. Your child need to know that Allah had the right to have His law enforced. Had the right to have His will obeyed. It is not something nice to do or something that you can do when you want to do. Also, you need to teach your child, have to have a confidence in Allah promises and Allah wa'ad wa'id and Allah threats. Sometimes you can promise, but you can say that's too old. Or you can threat and you can say that's too old. Or you underestimate the promise or the threat because a long time. No. إِنَّمَا تُوَعَدُونَ لَآتْ. What Allah promises is coming. A trial is coming. A reward is coming. Punishment is coming. And don't take anything for granted. And the more chance you get, it can be for you or it can be against you. Either you will be in a sleeping mode and do more mistakes, or you will be alert and try to reconcile and clean up and take advantage of life and try to do better and challenge yourself. That type of mode, no school gonna teach. That's gonna have to be coming from parents. When I be have coming from mom, when I be coming from dad, when I be coming from grands, when I be coming from uncles, from all the environment around me. Respecting Allah's law and having a confidence in it. Having a confidence in it. That is what gonna keep you going. That is the gas that is goes into your life to keep it going. The energy that you need to it. I was talking about week few seconds ago. What gonna turn me, do you think when I have any of us, do you think I'm talking about here fantasy? Every single one of us having problems and having issues and having challenges and having more than one in the same time. Some of them depress you, some of them make you doubtful, some of them make you down, some of them drain your resources, everything. What keep you holding and recharge your energy, recharge everything. And take the further step, one step ahead, and you never give up, you never step back, you never stop. What? What is that magical formula? It's easy. Having undoubtful, confident in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises. Confident. And you all heard it, and you heard it from me so many times, but I'm going to repeat it again to make the point. You all know what happened with Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was right by the edge. And they are getting ready to throw him in the fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Mikael and sent Jibreel. And he said to him, if you want, just give the order. We will make the mountains, make an earthquake, and we will move the mountains, and we will kill a bomb. The other one, Mikael, he said, I can make a train, sit that far off, and probably drown. For somebody, death to him is not a concept, or maybe death is reality. Death is reality. He is right there in the tip. He can see the fire. He can feel the flame. He knows who's behind him, what's around him. No one wanna even have a second thought about him. He is gone. And what it meant is what he said. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in heaven? The answer was yes. He said, I have no need for you. I have no need for you. That is, we are not Sayyidina Ibrahim. But you got a role model we have to drive for. And listen to how Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam used to face the challenges of life. When he says, Ma'ya Rabbi Sayahdeen. I am facing everything. I am facing all the challenges, all kind of rejection, objections, pressure that I'm getting from my people by what? Ma'ya Rabbi. I have the Lord. I have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My heart. And that's more than enough. Is that a confident or it is not a confident? I don't believe for a second this is a lip service. Or even emotional involvement. But it is a really belief seeded the roots in there. Right in his heart. And right in his soul. And you know the story and you know the end of it. That is an objection. This is an object. This is a goal that your family is supposed to be driving to build. And you're supposed to be the one who will demonstrate to your children how that will be taken care of. that level of confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him to bless our gathering, grant us mercy and grant us forgiveness. إن الحمد لله والشكر لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. The last point that I want to talk about is, it is Allah right that you teach, you introduce Allah right to your child. And the last one of all, it is not the last, but it is the last one that I'm going to mention today, is to train your child how to do the thank Allah and how to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamd wa shukr. We have alhamd and we have shukr. They are two different. And we need to know the difference in between them, and we actually need to apply them. Thanking, that means it is a behavior, it's something that I do to recognize my gratitude or express my gratitude to something good that you did to me. Okay, I'm coming in here, it is cold, and you open the door. Or you see me carrying anyone carrying a lot of heavy stuff, and you said, let me help you and give you a hand. So what you usually say? Thank you. Maybe you know that person, maybe you don't. But what you did here, you expressed the gratitude to a behavior, it was beneficial to you. Something, he did something good to you. So you want to express that and say, thank you. For Alhamd. Alhamd, that means I will admit, recognize, and deal with, and have a confidence in all goodness that it comes out of you, regardless what is that is. If it is, from my perspective, good for me or bad for me. I will react with you as you are the source of goodness. That's Alhamd. And this is why you see the old people or our elders, when they talk to us, when we are coming to complain, they say automatically, but maybe sometimes they don't know what's behind it, say Alhamdulillah. And we have something good, they say what? Say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah fi al-darra'i wa fi al-sarra'i. That means I am accepting the goodness and I recognize whatever I got is a hidden mercy. It is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is at my convenience or it is not at my convenience, it is still Alhamdulillah, it is good. Can you imagine how your life will be shaped and turned upside down if you believe that everything that Allah giving you, it has a mercy in it? How major a change, not major, that's a flip in your life. Is every and anything you get, it has a mercy in it. Sometimes it's mercy that you can recognize very quick, and some maybe takes a time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to start your relationship with Him by recognizing this issue. So what is the first surah in the Quran? It is Al-Fatiha. And what is the first ayah in the Quran? Alhamdu lillahi rabbil alameen. That means the minimum requirement of knowledge that it's supposed to be controlling your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, I recognize you are the source of all goodness. I recognize that every and anything you give me is good. Even if it is, it doesn't seem to me it is convenient, or it hurts me. Losing a loved one, it hurts you or it makes you happy? Losing, being sick, make you happy or make you sad, make you feel bad? Losing business or losing whatever, getting bad treatment from people, getting whatever that harm you. If you recognize that it happened, it happened, it has a mercy in it and it has a reason in it. And as long as it is coming from Allah, Alhamdulillah. And you need to know, I'm going to finish the khutbah by it, inshaAllah. What's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is two kind. What's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is two kind. Some, He lets you know that He wants you to do it. And that's what it called al-irada al-shar'iyya. And that's what the whole thing about sending messengers and sending prophets to come and tell you what Allah wants from you. What Allah wants you to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you for it. So al-irada al-shar'iyya, or the legislative one, is the one that is going to come and tell you what to do and what to not to do. So that's the first one. The second one, this is represent Allah giving, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving here in what? Giving the permission to do it. If you insist in doing something wrong, you understand it is wrong, and you still by your word, by your own will, even after the warning, you insist in doing it, what's going to happen? Maybe Allah will let you do it. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ Whomever decide to deviate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messenger, what's going to happen? وَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّهُ We will let him do what he want to do. And what's going to happen after that? He will get the consequence of his choice. So don't be deceived and don't think what Allah ya'lamu antum la ta'lamun. Allah is the only one who knows what's good for you, what's bad for you. Believe me, if you know what's good for you and what's bad for you, truly Allah wouldn't send one single messenger. There is no reason for it. But because we don't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sended those. So we don't need to cheat ourselves. We don't need to deceive ourselves. We need to examine what we are doing. Is what I am doing right or wrong according to my evaluation, or right and wrong according to what I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it is right or said it is wrong? And that's exactly, you see, so that's what you're going to give to the new generation. And that is Allah right. It is Allah right that you give this information to the new generation. And I'm going to finish the khutbah by saying this. There is a hadith on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, حَسْبُ الْمَرْءِ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ أَنْ يَضِيعَ مَنْ يَعْمُلُ. There is nothing bigger. There is no sin bigger than you let your family go astray. The responsibility is so big. The responsibility is so big. What it needs to be done is 24/7. When your responsibility will end? Probably when you are dead. There is no end to your responsibility, and there is no end to what you do to improve the right, to improve the light, the life of the loved one, to let them know what is Allah right, activate in their life, let them activate their iman, activate their conscience, so they can respond right into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. this is not an easy job, and it does not come by giving information. That you have to give information, and you have to give a example, and you have to give a motivation. Some of those motivations sometimes positive, some they are negative. Negative motivations, I mean discipline. The job is very big, very, very big. And one of the things that I hope, knowing the right thing, that does not mean you do the right thing. Understanding what the right thing needs to be done, that does not mean you are doing the right thing. These are only steps to get to do the right thing. Remember all the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'alu. O who believed, why you say something and do others? We need to go and think what we do with what we say and what we know. And we make sure that in our family we'll do the same. Our spouses will do the same. Our children will do the same. In that time and in that time only, we are fulfilling our obligation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing. And ask Allah to grant us all mercy, all pardon. Forgive all our sin, all our mistake, all our shortcoming. And help us to be a better believer. And help us to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and apply him in our life so we can live in peace and die in peace, and in the hereafter inshallah we'll be in peace and we'll be among the companion of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Ibadallah, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihun. Ibadallah, inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله